This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. In a typical year, the majority of U.S. pork exports to China occur within the first 7 months, with peak exports occurring in April through June. But as everyone is aware, 2018 has been anything but typical on the trade front. On April 2nd, U.S. pork, fruits, nuts, wine, and ginseng found themselves on the receiving end of China's irritation about recently imposed U.S. steel and aluminum tariffs. The irritation came in the form of an additional 25% tariff on U.S. pork and an additional 10% tariff on the rest of the targeted agricultural products. While there have been ad hoc reports of declining sales and suspiciously thorough port inspections for the non-pork products on the list, complete data has been hard to come by. But for U.S. pork, the significant impact these tariffs are having on U.S. export volumes is more apparent because of mandatory export reporting. The data is clear. U.S. pork exporters are squealing, but with dismay, not delight. A farmer participating in the No Taste for Waste campaign is recycling inedible foods to make electricity and fertilizer. The collaboration by AFBF and others seeks to reduce food waste, which accounts for up to 40% of all food produced. Farm Bureau member and Pennsylvania dairy farmer Rhett Reinford talked about his participation in the effort in a recent interview. Reinford uses an anaerobic digester to recycle food waste, which generates enough power to supply the farm and roughly 100 other homes. Reinford said they originally built it to reduce odor, but they soon found out that they could put food waste in it and make even more electricity and more methane. So, for the last 10 years, they've been recycling food waste, inedible food, that they've gotten from various sources over the years, retailers, and most recently now, a lot from food manufacturers. The Agriculture Department's May 29 Crop Progress Report provided the first subjective, visual-based observations of the condition of the U.S. corn crop. Based on observations from approximately 3,600 respondents, as of May 27, 79% of the 18-state corn area is in good to excellent condition, the second highest initial rating since 1991 and the highest level since 1994. The percentage of the corn crop in good to excellent condition was well above the average trade estimate of 72%, above the prior year's 65%, and above the five-year average of 70%. The percent of the corn crop estimated to be in poor or very poor condition was only 3%, the lowest initial rating since 2014. Across much of the U.S., the good to excellent ratings are above the five-year average. In the I states, Iowa, Indiana, and Illinois, the good to excellent conditions are 8 to 11 percentage points better than the five-year average. Only Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Louisiana, and Texas have good to excellent ratings below the five-year average. The American Farm Bureau Foundation for Agriculture has announced its Summer Purple Plow Challenge Farm to Food Truck. For this challenge, students in grades 5, 6, 7, and 8 come up with a food truck concept and menu, then track back to where each ingredient originated. The challenge runs through August 1st. Visit purpleplow.org Food to Truck Challenge to learn more. AFBF's Cody Lyon was quoted in a Political Pro article on current efforts surrounding the House Farm Bill. While the May 18th vote failed and legislators in the House have until June 22nd to reconsider H.R. 2, Politico Pro noted that Farm Bureau leaders have another important thing going for them. Many are in the process of doing their candidate evaluations for the 2018 elections. Lyon, AFBF Managing Director of Advocacy and Political Affairs Programs, said the vote on H.R. 2 will be a key measure of the support given to incumbents. Politico Pro highlighted AFBF's increased advocacy efforts to move the Farm Bill forward. The American Farm Bureau Federation has also stepped up its advocacy efforts, issuing a new action alert late last week. New background documents have been distributed to state farm bureaus so they have fresh ammunition to reinforce the message when members are in their districts, wrote Politico Pro. The group's outreach is being done through phone calls, in-person meetings, town halls, and reaching out to local reporters. The message is also being promoted on social media. In discussions about potential restrictions on advances in seed technology, a primary concern has been that impeding technological development would limit the ability of farmers to maximize their productivity. Farmers well know that increases in production will not come from more acres, but from the more efficient use of the land and inputs they already have. That really underpins why biotechnology is so important to farmers. They are vocal advocates for genetically modified crops, which require less water and fewer chemical applications than conventional crops. In addition, GM crops are better able to survive drought, weeds, and insects. Farmers have fought hard to protect their ability to utilize this technology both in the U.S. and around the world. The approval of new traits, however, has slowed in certain key markets like China. These trade barriers clearly have an impact on agricultural operations, but the ability to quantify that impact has been limited. CropLife International recently released the results of a commissioned study that estimates the impact delayed import approvals in China have had on farm income, job creation, wage growth, economic output, and potential business sales. The Environmental Working Group recently released a Dirty Dozen list of foods, which includes a list of produce with pesticide residues to encourage the public to buy organic produce. Purchasing choices are up to the individual, but they don't need to be directed by fear. The Agriculture Department's public data makes it clear that our food supply, both organic and conventional, is safe in part due to farmers' dedication to responsible pesticide use. The government also regulates pesticide use to reduce residues. Some produce has trace amounts, which can easily be eliminated by running it under water. To put it in perspective, a child could eat 340 apples in one day without any negative side effects from pesticides, even if the apples have the highest residue recorded for apples by the USDA. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.